This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. M Squared TechCast is an affiliate of the Podcast Detroit Network. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Mike Brennan, and we're here with a very full studio today as we are in episode 3.
This is the third time we've done this now. So they keep letting us come back here.
They haven't fired us yet, but that's probably coming.
So. Okay. Well, Mike, you have a good week?
Very good week, yeah. Very busy. Launched a lot of things. A new website came up a week ago. The two new newsletters came out last week, so I was somewhat busy.
Yeah. I was busy, too. I got to go up someplace I've never been before, Treetops Resort near Gaylord, for a meeting of ITC Transmission, the people that own the grid.
Yes.
I moderated a panel discussion up there, and my boss, Robert McGee, the executive director of the Engineering Society of Detroit, got to give a luncheon keynote up there about ESD and its programs. We're trying to recruit more volunteers for our various youth programs up there. That was the major purpose of that speech.
For the youth program,
so,
right?
Yeah. And so Treetops, never been there. 5 golf courses, 2 hotels, a lot of condos, neat rental properties, neat golf courses. The one that I'd really like to try is they have a really high-end par 3 course there, and that's right up my alley because I got nothing off the tee, but I could putt pretty well. So that's all I got.
All right, well, that's good. Let's introduce some folks around the table. Like I say, we got a full table here today. We have from ClickDevated, Chris Roebuck and Ben Hadla. Say hi.
Hello, everybody.
That was Chris.
Hi.
That was Ben. And then you're going to recognize this voice, Foster Brown, who does our intros and outros, bumpers, whatever you want to call them.
I did my very best not to jump in when I heard the opening there because I'm so used to doing that.
Okay, and then Gary Baker, who the guys have been together for 18 years and the internet advisor at WJR, and of course they're one of our partners.
I just follow Foster around.
That's all. Well, today you followed him to beautiful Ferndale.
It's a wonderful studio.
It's a great studio. I kind of envy this place. This space is great.
This is a neat little studio, and this was put together by the IT and the D guys.
And you have a lovely engineer, too.
Lovely engineer.
We have to deal with these warty old guys, behind the screen.
Yeah. And it's certainly different than the last time. Mike and I did a program from the IT and the D studios, the former studios.
Yeah.
And that was a trip.
Yeah.
That was a real
trip. Up in this creepy old building.
We went up a freight elevator. Yeah. I think we had to pull up by hand almost.
Yeah,
it
pretty
seemed
much.
Like that.
They were shooting Batman there, I think, weren't they?
Yeah.
Parts of Batman?
I think you're right.
According to the IT and the D guys, that's not all they were shooting up there either.
It had a funny smell.
And on the street near there, too.
None of my business, whatever you're into.
But around here, everything is metal.
I don't judge. Oh, yeah.
Multicolored, too.
This is a really nice studio.
Lots of purples and grays.
Yep.
Very cool.
And Bob and Dave's 1980s art is all over the place, too. So that's kind of cool.
It's a nice touch.
A nice touch, yes. All right, let's talk about a few headlines, Matt. What do you got?
Well, I thought this was kind of interesting. This is just in time for the puck drop of the 2015-16 NHL season. And Lord knows, I want to talk about the Red Wings because he sure can't talk about the Tigers or the Lions. But the Detroit Red Wings have partnered with a California entertainment company. They've launched a new free video app and website that delivers really good high-definition video content to fans. It's called the Red Wings Desk Site, and that is the URL is redwingsdesksite.com. It's a personalized HD video content library, and it's built to support fans' growing consumption of online video. It provides instant access to every Red Wings video apparently ever produced. DeskSite is they've got a contract with a bunch of NFL teams as well. This might be their first contract with an NHL team. I'm not sure. But if you go to their website, it looks like they're mostly in the football business. But it's a California company, Aliso Viejo, California, wherever that is. I don't know. It's called QDOS Incorporated, QDOS Incorporated. And it is a really cool site.
Hopefully it didn't burn up in the fires out there.
Yes. Or slide off a hill in the mudslide.
That's true. Good point.
Well, if it involves video, it sounds like Ben and Chris should get involved in that somehow, right? We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But real quick, tell us about Clicktivated.
So Clicktivated, we're an interactive video platform born and raised here in Detroit. We allow viewers to get more information directly out of video content simply with a click or a touch, depending on what device you're on. So I know we're going to get into this in a little bit.
We
so
are,
we'll
yes.
get too far ahead. But
no, we don't want to like you know steal your
this
thunder
is a little teaser,
here.
But you know it allows you to get information or access information, again, whether it's for direct purchase or to educate yourself on specific things.
Ben, did you want to throw something in there?
That's great. It's a synopsis there. It's just incredibly simple, very fluid technology, and it provides the viewer and bridges them with the information they want directly through video.
Cool. Matt, more for me? Back to me or you?
Oh, let me take one here.
All right, go ahead.
I went to a transportation symposium last week at Lawrence Technological University, and it drew, well, capacity of the room. It was the biggest auditorium at Lawrence Tech. Capacity is 300, and I hope the fire marshal wasn't around because there was a lot more than 300 people there. It was an all-star panel of experts on the future of transportation. It had Kirk Steidel, director of the MDOT, Jay Barron, president and CEO of the Center for Automotive Research, Toyota's safety research director, a guy named Chuck Goulash, Denso International America chief engineer Douglas Patton, who also happens to be president of the Engineering Society of Detroit right now.
Well, shameless plug.
Yes, indeed. GM R&D chief Gary Smith and Michael Ford, CEO of the Regional Transit Authority. And I thought they were going to talk about roads and bridges. They really didn't talk about that very much. What they talked about was cars, the future of vehicles. And this automotive or this autonomous driving thing is coming. I mean, they're working on it. They're spending huge money on it.
They're really going to change, eh? This is happening.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before we get to
lots of issues. So well, starting with those roads and things. If the roads aren't communicating with the cars, it isn't going to work.
You got to talk about roads and bridges because that's where these autonomous vehicles are going to run.
Well, yeah, but the main thing you got to talk about with autonomous vehicles is just making sure the striping is good. You know. Because that's what they go on. A lot of them do, you know, go on the road stripes, and that's how they you know maintain lanes, and that's how they maintain distances and all that kind of thing. But
what
it's really
winter, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's going to be a while until you get to I can sleep in the back seat. But in,
not in my lifetime. Actually.
But in terms of much safer driving and semi-autonomous driving. Now, SAE, Society of Automotive Engineers, has 0 through 5, you know, rankings for autonomous driving. 0 being, you know, your 1969 Camaro, and 5 being sleeping in the back seat. And we're somewhere right now around 2 or 3, where there are driver assist technologies.
That's hard to believe.
You know, driver assist technologies and. If you're on a freeway and there's not too much traffic, you can let the car drive itself.
You know, I've been waiting for this kind of technology to be combined with drone technology, right? Ever since I watched the Jetsons when I was 4 years old, right? I thought, oh,
yeah,
this
where does
is
that future
cool.
go? Yeah,
it's coming. Yeah.
Well, no, I grew up in the 50s. You're looking for the flying cars.
Yeah.
Walt Disney was telling me it was coming around the corner.
Back to the Future.
Corner's a little longer than what we thought. So.
If we could do this with drones.
Yeah.
Why isn't it possible? When will it be possible?
Well, that's a GPS
test dummy,
issue.
Right, Gary? Yeah. You get in there, you sleep in the back, see what happens, right?
The other big thing they were talking about with cars was an era in which more cars will be shared. Because you've got a lot of young people that don't really want to own a car unless they absolutely have to. The model they were using was music, where we've gone from an era where people wanted to own albums or CDs.
Exactly.
And then they go to iTunes and then they go to streaming. They don't want ownership, they want access. access. So there's a whole –
I just want to get from point A to point B, or I just want to listen to that piece of music.
And you think about it. I mean, I have a small car because it's 90% of the time or 95% of the time it's just me alone in it and I'm commuting. And if I need a big truck, I rent it, and that's more the future right. that they're pointed toward. Right. Why should I have to own a huge truck 365 days a year when I only want to tow a boat, you know, six times a year?
Why insure? And the insurance, you know, why insure something all year long when I'm only going to use that device or that vehicle a tiny portion of that?
That's a Zipcar model, and there's a lot of similar companies like Zipcar, yep. but they
Uber,
came they
Lyft.
Came to my area and were trying to sign everybody up in my complex where I live, so.
Well, but that has a whole bunch of issues that go along with it.
Absolutely.
You know, if you rent a car and it drives you to work, where does it go after that? You know, it doesn't fold itself up like George Jetson's car into the little briefcase,
yeah,
right? It has to go somewhere.
That's right. But somebody else orders it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You just
yeah.
give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think they're not only talking about I can order a single-person car to take me to work, but if I want to take and stop and pick somebody else up and share the cost of that trip – I can take and do that,
too. I'm curious, you two younger guys are more of the generation.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have a focus group here.
Yes, go ahead, focus.
In terms of our opinion on this, you know, I think it's great for a large city. I think the biggest challenge with that is how are you going to get to the car? You know, I think the idea of kind of having a car at your access anytime without having to buy or lease one for an extended amount of time is a good idea. But, you know, if I'm sitting here in Ferndale and whether I got dropped off or I drove this, you know, where does it go afterwards? Because ultimately, if you keep taking it back to your house and taking it to work, that's the kind of model that's your car. But if you live in a city and you're able to commute everywhere, whether it's on trains or buses or walk, right. then it makes sense because then if you want to run out outside the city, go play golf, escape for the weekend, do whatever, then it's easier because then sometimes your building has them or mm-hmm. you know, the commute is relatively short to get to them.
Wouldn't an Uber model – makes sense because I think you can get Uber almost anywhere. Just if you're way out in the country, it just costs you a little bit more.
Somebody else is driving the car.
It just costs you a little bit more to have it come out. So if that was an autonomous vehicle,
I was just thinking that. Yeah, if the car just shows up, then it's no big deal, and you drop it off and it drives itself home. But
or drives itself to the next place that somebody ordered it.
Yeah, that's still a little weird. I just don't see that happening anytime soon.
It's just called personal buses, right?
Yeah. Do you guys have your own vehicles, or do you use public transportation or some of these communal vehicles?
We both have our own cars.
Okay, you have your own cars, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and of course, in Detroit, you have to.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it depends on what market you're in. Chicago, New York, you know, those are markets where you could probably get away with this.
Cars
and I have some friends everybody I know lives in New York. They don't have cars. They just got rid of them once they moved there.
I saw it like at WJR in our building downstairs. There's a space for zip cars. Remember that?
That's right.
There's a couple spaces for zip cars that are down there.
Okay, we have a caller and we can hear them calling.
I love that.
So she'll have to wait a second. As you can tell, we still have some technical issues to work out as we go along, but this is probably our caller for the second segment, but you'll have to stand by. So how are we doing on time? Are we getting close to that second segment?
Might give us another headline.
Another headline, okay. Well, I'm going up to Traverse City this weekend. Part of the reason I'm going up there is Traverse Legal has developed a specialty in drone law.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
What do you know?
And
it's
so it turns out that Northeastern College up there, what is that called up there?
Northwestern Michigan College.
Thank you.
Yes.
There's a bunch of professors up there that's their specialty. So I'm going to be up there on Friday to interview them.
That is cool.
It'll be kind of nice. And then there'll be a nice little color tour and see some family.
Any excuse for going to Traverse City is good.
Yeah, just don't go there in January.
No.
Unless you ski.
Definitely
go there in January.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, cool. We probably, since we got that caller standing by, we can break this off, go to music and bring in the caller and move to segment two. I can do this. And this is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And this is M Squared TechCast.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch, and we're back.
With M Squared TechCast. Gosh, we're getting this down like we know what we're doing, which, of course, we don't. But anyway, we have on the line with us Brian Grants, who's the IT director for the MEDC and now the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, for those who don't follow all these acronyms. And they're in studio today. We have with us from Clicktivated, Chris Roebuck and Ben Hadala. I'm still pronouncing that right, right?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. Good. And they got a. I'll let you take it from here. You got a big deal with the MEDC for a small company. This is really good news, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're super excited about our partnership that we just launched with the MEDC actually 2 weeks ago today, in which we partnered on their Pure Michigan campaign for the allowance of the interactive elements within Pure Michigan to inform viewers of specific destinations within the video simply by touching or clicking them as the videos are playing. And now it's feeding up that information that that viewer is watching that video to absorb, but now they're able to see, you know, what that specific location is, if it's one of their partners, et cetera. And like I've always said, you know, I'm born and raised here in Michigan, right outside of Detroit. And, you know, I've always loved all these Pure Michigan videos. And the one thing that's always kind of made me laugh is the fact that I am born and raised here, and these videos are fantastic, and there's a lot of places in them that I'm like, that's a pretty neat place. Yeah. But you have no idea where 98% of these places are unless it's really obvious. And, you know, Clicktivate is now allowing the viewers to gain that additional information through the videos for all of these locations around the state, to find out exactly what they are and, you know, potentially move down the road to booking a trip to a beautiful state. Mm.
Why don't you go ahead and weigh in there, Brian, and talk a little bit about why you guys decided to go with Clicktivate.
Absolutely. You know, one of the first things that drew us to Clicktivate was that they're a Michigan company. You know, that always excites us, you know, representing the state, being able to take a company that's, you know, relatively new to the market with cutting-edge technology and bringing it up to the state level to go out across the country and even the world is pretty phenomenal. When we started first looking at this technology, it was in its infancy, and I would say, you know, 12 to 14 months ago, there weren't a lot of companies doing it. The ones that were, I don't think their technology was where Clicktivate is. And once we stumbled upon them, started working with them, seeing how their player worked, we were very, very excited to bring them on, and we are proud to launch them as the first travel and tourism website that is using this sort of technology.
So I'm curious, how did you, quote-unquote, stumble upon them? How did you meet this company? How did you find out about
Matt Roush, by the way. I identify the speaker. So.
Yes, sorry about that.
So, no, that's okay, Matt. So what we did is really we just started searching and looking. You know, when the Internet started, it was a bunch of text, and then they made the text, you know, they put some colors to it, then they added some links, and then, you know, you start looking at pictures and moving pictures, and then video has just propagated itself across the Internet in the last few years. And if you look at it, it's kind of the next step. So as we were looking at some future technologies, how do we want to implement it? The Pure Michigan videos do fairly well everywhere we show them. People really enjoy them. So as we started looking and doing our research and Clicktivate, it came up. It came up on the list, and the more we looked and the more we kind of worked with them, we really were excited to bring them on board.
All right, so tell me a little bit about how the technology works. You're essentially taking a video, say somebody would you know, that they would put up a golf video or something like that, and you are able to click on things within the video, and then that'll, you know, take you to, like, if it's a Grand Traverse, you know, it's a video of Grand Traverse Resort, you click on that and it'll take you to their golf link or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the short and simple way to say it. So essentially you take the video content, and within that you're able to associate your URLs with exactly what the viewer is seeing, and then from there they click or touch at a certain time when they're interested, and that takes them to a specific product's page.
So, excuse me, this is Foster Brown. Do you have, like, hotspots within the video that you identify?
We don't refer to them as hotspots, but simply put, I guess you can call them a hotspot, since we won't get too technical here. But we're creating elements within the video that the viewer can then interact with, and whether it's individual things, whether it's a restaurant and a shop right next to each other in a video, or whether it's a beach scene. You know, the viewer can then just reach out and touch or click for that information.
How do I know I can touch that thing? Is it like turn blue or sparkle or?
No, it's a great question, and after this I'll show you a video. But education is obviously a key component to this, and we're working with the MEDC's, or Pure Michigan's agency, which is McCann in Birmingham, on this. And we came up with an education slide that plays before the video, which we have found to be very successful. And
great.
What we've learned is – consumers as a whole have come a long way in the last couple of years, especially, you know, with kind of the, the proliferation of interactive screens, whether it's your phone, your tablet, TVs, computers. Everything is interactive today, especially. And I would say over the last 2 years, consumers have finally grown to the point where they're now willing to accept being able to interact directly within video. And I would say, again, that's because of all the devices that we use on a daily basis. But back to the education, we found that just informing the viewer because of how advanced that they now are as a consumer, just telling them that the video is interactive and what they can do, just some simple messaging on a slide, they understand that and they immediately start clicking through once the video begins.
Good. So it's open to dummies like me.
It is wide open.
Thank you. Good.
Now, you know, if you like to click on things, this is built for you.
What sort of is it actually running now? You're actually in the wild and is working and all that jazz, or is it almost ready to go?
Oh, no. We are live. And for everybody that's listening, if they want to check out the Pure Michigan videos, they're at michigan.org/explore and then another /. And we've got our first 10 videos up there on the Pure Michigan website, and feel free to play them and click around and see all the neat destinations that they feature within it.
The responses you're getting, are they demographically, is it more the millennials that are reacting to them versus like Foster and me, the baby boomer, Gary, and Matt,
and me.
The old people in the room, right?
All of us.
Well, I'm not old. Well, if you're using a flip phone, the videos won't work.
That rules Foster out.
No, nuts.
No jitterbug phone
for you.
My
StarTAC won't work.
Yeah, he's got his click phone on his walker, so I mean, what can I say?
So now, what if I click on something and I want to know something about that particular element in the video, and it's not interactive? Do you have a way to capture the fact that there's been a number of people that have clicked on that element, and then you can go make it interactive? Is that possible or not yet?
No, absolutely. And that's a great question. We do. We're capturing every single touch point within the video. So if there are certain elements within the video that are getting a lot of attention, we know exactly what the viewer is clicking on and what they're interested in. So then we can go back to the client and inform them that there are some certain items or locations or whatever the case may be that they may want to think about creating that click-to-vated element around.
Is this a moneymaker then? Is there product placement fees that could be
He's nodding his head, so I'm thinking there's money in this, right?
Yeah, well, somehow I always go there.
I'm pretty sure these guys hope there's money.
Well, unfortunately, click-to-vated wouldn't give it the technology for free, so we did sign an agreement with them to give them a little bit of money to help out. But I think, Chris, you can speak to some of that other stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In terms of the revenue potential, obviously, depending on the situation, there are quite a few different ways to generate revenue, both on the client side along with our side. But we're all about creating an experience for a client that allows them to further benefit, whether it is directly from revenue sources for sponsors, product placement, in the case of the travel industry, specific deals with hotels, with restaurants, with different districts, and then on the more of the retail side, product placement is kind of what it's all about.
You think we can generate like $2 billion a year to fix our roads with this? Is this how we're going to do this in a bake sale? Is that
is
how
the
we're
governor listening?
We got to start with refunding MEDC.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Let's get some video around it and let's click-tivate it and we'll fix the roads in no time.
Now, does it tie in with GPS? So you're with your mobile phone or your tablet, you're out moseying around Michigan, and the local restaurant knows that and it's on click-tivated and it zeros right in on you? Does that...
Can you marry this with iBeacon technology, for instance, or geofencing?
Yeah, actually, you can. The platform itself originally created to be extremely flexible from start to finish. So if it is some type of geofencing situation that the client would like because it's I don't want to name any places specifically.
Go ahead, name
them.
Traverse City is where we were.
Yeah. Let's talk about Traverse City. We already
going.
Yeah, where I'm going. Yeah, I'll have my smartphone with me. Does it work up there?
It can work that way, but it just depends on the situation. It needs to be specifically set up.
Uh-huh.
But it has the capabilities. But right now, we're not specific. I keep using specific. We're not running any geofencing technologies currently.
But that certainly is a possibility.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Beacon and some of those other technologies.
For sure, absolutely.
Great. Well, what's the
and here at the MADC, one of the things, you know, we're looking at it to use it in a bunch of different ways. You know, we have social media that we use. We utilize our videos in a variety of different ways. So we started with these 10 videos, and the relationship is great. We're really seeing some good numbers. You know, one of our main drivers is to make sure that people see these videos and they actually see where they're going. So, you know, I'll go out on a limb and say something like the Mackinac Island video. As you're going around, you're seeing different things. You know, for people that haven't been there, you know, you see some horses and some boats and the Grand Hotel, and you see some beautiful things. You're like, I don't know how to get there. And one of the biggest drivers for Clicktivated is when you click on something that's in the video, it builds the menu to the right-hand side. So you can see these things appearing. It's not in a hidden menu. It's not behind. Oh. You can hide it if cool. you don't want to see it, but you can just have it as a little strip to the side of the video. And when you're done watching the video, you can watch it again. You can click on more stuff, and then you can just follow all those links and push out to some of our partners.
Wow. Yeah,
and cool. I should have mentioned that at the beginning, is that is how the experience works, and that allows the viewers to stay on video and engaged with that good. Piece of content.
Good. So you don't have to pause the video. The stuff builds up, and then you can go back to it later.
Exactly. Right? So whether it's a 15-second video or a two-hour video, it allows you to click, and all your items of interest, you know, are still on the right hand side. Then at any point in time, you can click on that, and that will ultimately lead you out to that specific information page.
You know, and I know that you mentioned that Michigan.org/explore is where you could go to see these videos. Correct. But the technology I'd like you to work on next would be when we're on the radio and doing podcasts, if we could just hold this video up to the mic, hold it a little closer, and let people... Anyway, that's
well,
the
well, you
product,
could play
right?
it and hold it up to the mic. I'm sure we'd be all happy to listen to Pure Michigan. Yeah, yeah.
We want a Braille version of it.
We don't want to charge you for it either.
Actually, we had to do something similar to that last week because right during our show, Skype was down.
Yeah.
So we had people calling in, and we literally had to hold a cell phone up to the... Or rather, just did. Hold a cell phone up to the microphone to do our interviews. It was...
See your biceps this week, boy. She's all bulked up after that.
Well, by the way, a bit of breaking news. Speaking of things being down, Facebook went down today at about 3 p.m. Eastern time. Facebook is down
about
at the
moment. Just about the time we went on.
Yeah, coincidence? I'm not sure.
I think it's because they're coming to our Facebook site. They couldn't handle the traffic. We got about how much?
Still down?
I'm looking at 2 minutes. So okay, give us the quick, how did you guys get into this in the next 2 minutes or less?
Sure. So the quick background is it was just based off of the frustration of watching videos, whether it's a Pure Michigan video or it's a TV show, fashion video, whatever it may be, and seeing items of interest that you wanted to know more information about. And there was no way of finding what that information was without you have to search. It becomes kind of a black hole, and you don't know where you're going to wind up. And specifically, what you were looking for is very hard to identify. So we realized that the market was definitely lacking this type of solution early on, and we wanted to build something that really bridged the gap between seeing something in video that you were interested in and allowing that viewer to gain that information, whether it was for strictly educational purposes or for a direct purchase opportunity.
Hmm. You know, I think back to the early stages of the World Wide Web and the whole idea of being able to click on a hypertext link and going deeper and deeper and deeper and getting more content. You're just doing the exact
hypertext.
Same thing for video, right?
Hypertext. Right. Yeah, well, that's what I hadn't thought of for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same as that for video.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're already taking it, you know, to the next step, and we don't just work on the computer. We work on every browser. We work on mobile. We just became the first interactive technology company to work natively in the iPhone. Hmm. So we can interact with a video without actually downloading an app, which was a major step in the industry as a whole.
Wow.
It may not sound like that big of a deal, but
no, it's huge.
It was a pretty big breakthrough for us.
This guy's could be the next Google or something here, right? Or something like that.
Why limit their future?
Call them Google.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're moving to TV and everywhere else next, so it's very exciting for us, and we appreciate the time bringing us in here.
All right, well, that little beep-beep means the next guest is queuing up, so we're going to go to break real quick. You guys stay with us in the studio. We can talk to Amanda Luan, who runs Michipreneur.com, and... we'll get you in that publication, too. This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Roush.
And we're at M Squared TechCast. All right, bring Amanda in.
Yeah, this is what you're getting on Facebook at the moment.
This is a previously recorded episode.
And we're back. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan on M Squared Tech Talk. And we have standing by from downtown Detroit. Well, we get them from all over the place. We have Amanda Luan, who's the co-founder of Bamboo Detroit, as well as the, I'm not sure, are you the editor of Michipreneur.com? What do I call you there?
Yeah, editor and founder.
Okay, good. And why don't you tell folks what both Bamboo Detroit is and Michipreneur is, because I know you know it better than I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bamboo Detroit is a co-working space. We're one of the largest co-working communities in Detroit for entrepreneurs. And then Michipreneur.com is a website that publishes stories and resources connecting entrepreneurs to the ecosystem in the state.
Great. And I think Bamboo Detroit started before Michipreneur. You've been around for how many years?
Yeah, so they both started around the same time, about 2 years now.
2 years, okay.
So tell me a little bit about Bamboo Detroit. Where is it located? How much space do you have, and how do you go about getting
That's
space
Matt
there?
Rausch, by the way.
Oh, so. Hi.
Hi, Matt. So we are, for co-working, it's really an innovative real estate model. So we came into a building downtown Detroit right at Flush and Gratiot, and we activated a space, a floor that wasn't being used. And an entrepreneur or someone who works at home, now that we have technology, we don't really need to be in the office. We can travel and work from wherever. And so we provide that sort of collaborative, affordable space for entrepreneurs and connect them to all of the great stuff happening downtown. I don't know if you heard today, but Amazon just announced that they're going to have a tech hub. And there's a lot of this really exciting energy all around us. So
oh, wow. Yeah, they haven't talked about number of employees yet, but they are going to take a couple more floors in the building they're in, apparently, where they have about 100 people now, I think, something like that. Software development
that's
and
what
sales.
I heard.
Yeah.
So what is it that you think that's driving all this entrepreneurial activity down there around Harmony Park and around the ballpark down there and all that? What's going on? Why is it so hot right now?
Well, I think it's right now, it's just there's a lot of interest and a lot of energy around entrepreneurship. It's really affordable to get started if you're in Detroit versus moving to San Francisco, moving to New York City, Chicago. You can live and work for a pretty affordable rate. And so that makes it easier if you're bootstrapping a company. But I think we see a lot of that too. We do see folks though who are working full time at a corporation downtown and then, you know, working on launching that side project, that new company on the side too. So I think having something flexible near all those other work locations is a really great option too.
And I'll let you have a little shameless plug here. I mean, people are wondering, that sounds kind of cool, but how much are we looking at? So how much are we looking at to get started?
Yeah, so it starts at $99 a month for 1 year contract and then goes up from there and really just kind of depends how much time you want to commit to being a part of the community. Like I mentioned, 24/7, you get a mailing address, coffee, tea. Tom and James, it's a little bit more legit if you're starting a company in a basement and yeah. Affordable, so we have that option.
Yeah, plus you don't have your mother always checking on you, right? So.
Or your family complaining
no,
you're taking
you
up the garage.
But you have a room full of 100 entrepreneurs checking in on you, and that can be a little bit more, you know, valuable, depending on your mom.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If your mom's an entrepreneur herself, then what the heck, right? But so with that, do you get like a pod or one place to sit down and a desk or something like that, too? Or is
you sit wherever you want for the day. We are working on expanding and building out a new space downtown pretty soon, and we'll have more details on that. But that will have what we call dedicated spots, so you kind of pay for your own spot and no one else can go there. And private offices. We've just had a ton of demand for people who want to be in the community, who want a little bit more privacy. So we're working on adding that.
Well, it's interesting you're getting that kind of demand because there are four or five places like that in downtown Detroit now. So obviously there's a big market out there for this, right? You're seeing a lot of this.
Yeah, I think co-working in general, it's an emerging market. There's a WeWork is the market leader right now, and they're valued at $10
billion. Wow.
I think it just... It reflects kind of this new trend in how we actually work as a society and folks wanting to be a part of that community.
So what kind of industries are these clients of yours in? What are you seeing any trends there in terms of what kind of businesses they're starting?
We are a home for all types of folks. So we have technology startups. We have independent creators like writers, photographers, designers. We have quite a few education groups. We have something called Recovery Park, and they are urban farming area, so they source all the food locally for the restaurants nearby. So, I mean, we see all different types of stuff.
Hey, Amanda, this is...
Oh, right.
Interesting.
Right. This is Gary Baker. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, have you done any kind of partnership with some of the maker spaces? It seems to me that, you know, people that want to use the makerspace but also might need an office, like at Bamboo, is there any kind of partnership, or do you have people that you'd recommend, or are you close by to any of the makerspaces?
We do have a partnership with Pony Ride, but they're, like, filled up.
Yeah, we have partnerships
with other co-working spaces so you can travel. But that's a really great idea. We'd love to talk to anyone listening in that space, for sure.
Very cool. All right, let's talk a little bit about Michipreneur. What you guys have been doing that for a couple of years. I know I get your newsletter. I know you have a Facebook site, website, all that. But what's that all about? What are you looking for in terms of stories?
Yeah, so it got started just out of a love for telling the story of entrepreneurs. Started as a blog. We've recently launched a whole new platform to have more interactive resources and a map. You can kind of see what is... Who's starting up and who's innovating in our state. So we're always looking for stories. If you're a new startup and you've launched a product, you've got some sales, or you've raised some funds, you're showing a little bit of traction, we'd love to highlight you. And for those who have success and want to give back, we've been leading companies for 20, 30 years. We share interviews with all of those great leaders in Michigan, too.
Well, we got the Clicktivated boys here. You could do a quick interview with them. I think there might be some candidates because they were just describing their product. We had the folks from MEDC on. Sounds like a really interesting idea. I don't know if you've had a chance to write about them yet.
Yeah, we covered you guys, I believe, when you first kind of got launched and you raised some funding in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, that was
Chris
way back
here.
When. Yeah, this is Chris. Nice to meet you again.
Nice to meet you, too. How's it going?
Everything is great. No complaints at all.
And then we got Ben here, Director of Business Development. So what sort of things could you guys work out, say, with Bamboo Detroit, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I would...
Let's do some deals online. Let's make a deal.
Turn the video camera over there. Wide eyes. My God, what can I say?
Putting everybody on the spot on both
sides.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we were involved in a co-working space downtown for a while. We kind of outgrew it, but, you know, love to talk about what you know, Bamboo has that's a little bit different than, you know, what we had experienced in the past. I mean, we're always open and looking for different situations, whether it's private space or co-working space, that it really works for us. But I mean, I've always liked the idea of the co-working space. I think there's a couple brands nationally that do a fantastic job of it. Bamboo is relatively new, and I'd love to come check it out and see what makes you guys different than all the other ones downtown.
Amanda, this is Foster Brown. Yeah, you were kind of a launch pad for entrepreneurs. Am I right in that characterization?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it also sounds like you've launched enough that organizations like these folks who are in studio right now are looking for their own space. And you mentioned that there are now a lot of organizations or these little small companies that are looking for their own private space, that they grow into that.
Yeah, so we're working to solve that problem by expanding the hopefully next year we'll have the new space open. We're transforming a building downtown into an entrepreneurial hub. So multiple floors of activity. We have a bank that's a relatively new startup bank. Level One Bank moving into the building with us downtown. We're activating one floor of co-working, and we're going to have about 20 to 30 private offices. And that'll be good for the small startup teams, like, you know, maybe you're 5-6 people and you're growing, but you still want to be in that collaborative environment. I know a lot of people, some of the teams here have formed, they've found all of their talent just from being downtown and having all these events and getting connected to the right people, you know, and we hope to have investors, accountants, everyone who sort of supports a business in one place downtown.
That's exciting.
So that it really could be a place where you find everything you need, you know.
Yeah, you're creating a talent pool there in some ways. that different countries can service from. That's excellent.
Well, I just think that, you know, an entrepreneur that might be working out of their home, $99 a month seems very cheap, and you could make that money back on just one contact that you might just happen to run into or know somebody who knows somebody. Just that fabric that's being created downtown, of which Bamboo is part of, is so rich in being able to make those introductions and expand their companies in ways they really haven't imagined. And Amanda, I think that's been your claim to fame over since you've started Bamboo.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think that's what most people see, the value of having that address. But I think also, to building their teams, like, we had someone come in here who thought they'd be working on one company, met their co-founder, and then they've hired 3 or 4 people and brought on their team, and they've met them all just from working out of Bamboo. Yeah. So, you know, it's really, a company doesn't grow unless you have the right people. So I think getting that connection is really valuable.
And I'll chime in here. This is Chris again. And you know, from where we started to where we are today, you know, you think at the beginning that whatever idea that you've created is the greatest thing the world has ever seen. I mean, everybody kind of thinks that at the beginning, and you know, it is so beneficial to have a group of colleagues around you that you can go to and just have an open and casual conversation about what you're doing, to get their feedback and continue to, you know, hear what your peers are saying about what you've got going on, to continue to make it stronger and make it better. Because if you sit there and you kind of exist in a vacuum, you tend to create something that is only, you know, it's only coming out of your head, and you're not getting any type of collaboration. And that's what, you know, we really like about co-working spaces. There's always people around that you can talk to and bounce ideas around, and it's great to have that type of situation.
And some of those conversations don't amount to anything other than good conversation, and other times they come up with an idea that you go, wow, yeah, that's maybe something I should explore. I was at Tech Town last week, and that happened, where in a meeting, something was said. Afterwards, a small group of people got together and started to explore and flesh out the suggestion. And the entrepreneur said, thanks, and off and running down the hall. And and we went about our business for the rest of the day. But it was something that added value. And you never know how important that can be.
And that's the best part. You do never know. You never know. And you have that conversation, and it can be very productive and the next big thing, or it's just a 2 minutes of your day.
And that's why, with all of this stuff that we're all doing online now, you know, face-to-face networking is still important.
Oh,
it really
is. I'm going to have to cut this off real briefly. We're going to go to music, and then we'll be back at the fourth segment, and you'll be able to listen to more of those quality sounds from Gary Baker and Foster Brown here. We're going to talk about Internet Advisor, and we'll see what happens with that, right?
So this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan, and you're listening to M Squared TechCast.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch, and we're back. We're tripping all over each other.
We didn't sync that one up too good. I thought we had that down. So this is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch, and we're here with the M2 TechCast.
Okay. Hey, in this last segment, we have in the studio with us my original content partners, Gary Baker and Foster Brown from the Internet Advisor on WJR 760 AM in Detroit.
Ooh, we got
and
it all
a whole
in.
Bunch of affiliates as well. Old stopping grounds
It's syndicated out in Kalamazoo, Muskegon, Lansing, and I'm missing one. Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, right. Okay. And also part of PodcastDetroit.com now.
Yes. The MP3s, when you got on-demand audio, call it that. When the show is no longer live, you can listen to it at Podcast Detroit. So we're all here together and cross fertilizing back and forth.
Is that what we're doing?
it's something involving fertilizer.
That's why I have books on. We're lots of cross fertilizing.
Pack it in too tightly, it'll explode. But
It's so funny that we're all in the same room doing this, and it's just wonderful. It's just that kind of the next generation of getting the news out to people. But I remember, God, it had to have been 25 years ago, Matt. I remember that you were actually interviewing for a job at WWJ. I was on WJR at the time. We had just started our show. And Rich Homburg and you were sitting having lunch. We walked in the studio, and I could tell immediately what was going on. I went over to Rich, and I said, don't hire that guy. I don't want to have to compete against him. Yeah. He hired you immediately.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. It was a good run there.
That was fun. And, we've had conversations around about the same time, too. It's been a long time. You were back at the Free Press at the time, I think, when we
first met. Yeah, I was at the Free Press when we first met, and we dabbled in some internet websites, a rather crazy one we won't go into.
No, let's not talk about
that. Let that one go. But, yeah, we were early internet pioneers in 1995, did a website all that stuff.
Well, I will tell you, Gary, that when I first started doing internet stories for Cranes back in the mid-90s.
That's right. That's when we first met.
Yeah, I was the retailing reporter at Cranes, and the retailers that I was covering were terrified that the internet was going to put every store and every shopping mall in the country out of business, and we were all going to buy everything online. Well, it did blow up some businesses. Try to find a record store. Try to find a bookstore. You know,
I mean, other than an employee.
Gary can speak to that.
Yeah. But I asked, this was like 1994, and I was asking around about what is this internet thing? Where is it? And who owns it? And how does it work? And I asked people that I knew, who I should talk to about that, and every single one of them said Gary Baker.
I paid them all. It was hard to believe. I almost went broke.
You started the IT Summit, if I recall, too.
We did, yes. Yeah. That's right.
And I killed the IT Summit. I told them to have it at the Palace that one year, and the whole place smelled like a beer and dirty gym socks, and we tried to have a meeting there. So
and the way we were going with the attendance, it was about ready to fill up the Palace, and didn't quite make it there.
I remember that, because we were all on the floor, and that was about it, just the people on the floor.
And it was about 48 degrees in there, too. Right. It was not a good atmosphere for that kind of meeting.
Started in Dearborn at a hotel, if I recall, didn't it?
And we did about 5 years of that, and incrementally getting up, the attendance was up over 1,200 the second from last year.
What, starting about 95?
We started in about 95.
That's Windows 95.
Yeah, okay.
That's seriously. I mean, it was kind of interesting. Because
Foster still uses that, by the way.
Come on.
Now, Foster and I met because he was using our service, and I started Online Tech, which was the very first ISP in Michigan for business.
Well, and Richard. Richard was at RustNet,
was a few months behind us. We just beat him, but yes, he was right there with us. And it was all fun. I mean, we had great competition and great collaboration because we were all trying to figure this out at the same time.
Yep.
Foster was using our service. Called up, and we just couldn't figure out what the problem was, right? This was in the modem initialization string days, right? And we were trying – he was using his plain old telephone service, POTS line, coming in. And Foster, you called up, and we just – and so the guys that are normally on the help desk said, hey, can you take this call?
Because this was really weird,
So I jumped on the phone. That was with Foster, and we figured out the problem.
Yes, and it was a squirrel decided that it liked the flavor of the lines that were coming to my house.
Oh, my goodness.
And it had chewed through
the insulation
on it. And that was what was causing the problems, the disconnects and the bad connections.
However, this was one really smart squirrel eventually, right?
Because
he was like streaming the web.
And he was glowing too, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So what happened was at that time I was on WJR doing the Great Weekend program, which I did for a couple of years, and up to 1999. And at the last half hour of the show, I decided, this looks pretty interesting. Internet's coming along. Why don't I just take the last half hour of my show? I got Gary on to talk about my problem. Then I said, let's open the phone lines up to people who are getting into this right now. And we began to get a lot of people calling in. And we only had a half an hour to try to tackle some of these things.
And we didn't get out of the studio that first day till probably 3 hours, I guess, answering all the phone calls.
Yeah, because we had to put them on hold. And we had just a ton of people calling in. Gary, you were also describing the other day about the problem that was involved with trying to answer the questions about being very step-by-step methodical in doing it. We had to learn how to answer the questions because they could get terribly complicated. And you also have people who were learning the technology. Mm-hmm. It was like, huh? How does that work?
People would ask, and I'd say, okay, do step 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you do this. And if it's that, then you do something else. And I would get like a couple hundred emails all week long going, what did you say? And it was before podcasts. Now we podcast, so we just send people back to the podcast. They can You know, they can listen to it, stop it, do the first step, the second step, stop it, take, you know, go back and listen to it again. So it works out now with the
podcast. Or end up as confused as they were the first time.
Now you got Periscope doing video, and maybe the guys from Clicktivated can work with you on the Periscope thing. What do you think, guys?
Well, so we were doing Periscope actually last weekend, but we're going to do it this next this next Saturday because Foster and I are going to join Matt along with a few of hundred of our favorite friends at the Michigan Council of Women in Technology Gala that's coming up.
Yep, that's Saturday night at the Winter Garden.
No, this Saturday. Yes.
Winter Garden.
This Saturday. And normally we're in shorts and a T-shirt. And, you know, I remember Tom Dyruff came in pajamas one time because we did a late night show.
And he actually came in a union suit. It was with a foil hat.
That's right. Well, that was to keep the Mac rays out, He was a PC guy. But we're going to be dressed up. We're going to be in tuxes, right? Yeah. So we'll have to use Periscope and let people see what happens behind the scenes during the commercial breaks, because that's when all the cool stuff happens anyway.
Kind of are you going to say something, Mac?
Well, I was just going to ask you, when did the show take its current format, which is an hour of news and then an hour of call-ins? When did that happen?
Well, we might want to say when the show is, too, by the way.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, so it's on Saturdays from 4 to 6. And sometimes we're preempted by big Michigan State football players in green, and they're bigger than us.
Big guys in green and white. We get out of the way quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we had the format originally was just a half hour. And Foster was replaced by Warren Pierce. And, you know, I was still doing the show with Warren.
Right.
And it just wasn't as much fun. It wasn't working as well as when Foster was there because he had a real interest in this. So I went to Mike Feasey. I said, can we figure out when
station manager.
Mike Feasey was the manager at WJR at the time, now deceased, unfortunately. Mm. Very, very good guy.
Wonderful guy.
But, you know, he said, well, yeah, I guess we can bring Foster and you back together again. We'll do this something other than the morning show. We'll give you a half hour somewhere else. And I said, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I come in because I'm passionate about it. So is Foster, by the way, but I didn't tell him that. I just said, you know, it doesn't make sense to bring the announcer guy back in for just half an hour. And he goes, all right, we'll find you an hour. And I held up two fingers. He goes, 2 hours? And he goes, take the hour. We'll figure it out. And I think 3 months later or so, we had the 2 hours. And we've been doing 2 hours since. We went up to about 4 hours at one point.
We were up to 4 hours at times. We were filling in spaces. And what's happened is that we have now become the oldest or the longest running locally produced computer program on Detroit radio at 18 years. Coming up this next year. So the format eventually went into being an hour of interviews with people like yourself, Matt, and Mike, and other people, like the Clicktivate people. We're going to have them on.
We're
talk about that.
In Canada and everything else.
We wanted to have content that would inform people about businesses in Michigan, because that's part of our thing, as well as, you know, like this coming weekend, we're going to be talking about searching and doing good job searching with this new world of Cortana and Siri, et cetera. But then the second hour, we wanted to be open to people, just ordinary people who were WJR listeners, which meant a little older listener, and they were not really quite as technically savvy, although we had some people who were really savvy listening to the program as well. So we wanted to give that kind of thing. The fascinating thing for me is the transition right now between our radio program and podcasting, which is what we're doing here right now is the new broadcast model.
You know, and what's interesting, I guess, is that we have, while we've evolved and the questions are very different than when we first started, our purposes have not changed. And we had two purposes. One was to help our listeners have a better online experience. So we answer their questions and help them use the technology and go to good technology and identify some of that technology for them. And then the second was to promote technology companies here in southeastern Michigan to the rest of the Midwest and to the world.
Like these guys here in EDC and other places like that.
So that those purposes have remained constant
for Mike
the 18 years. They're just now expanded.
Well, and that's sort of where Mike and I have always been is that, it, you know, we've both been covering technology in Michigan for longer than either of us would care to admit. And the thing that I love about it is
but
that
– but we started when we were 18.
Well, yeah. I was 12. Speak for yourself. But anyway, but people don't think that there is a thriving tech community here. So every story we do is a man bites dog story. It's something, you know, unusual. It's something that people don't expect. Yeah. There are just amazing software companies in this town. Absolutely. And amazing software developers and amazing, you know, there's even hardware people. There's mm-hmm. people in all sorts of apps, industrial apps, you know, supercomputer management software that's developed in Troy. I mean, that's,
extraordinary.
You know, I mean,
extraordinary.
It's an amazing industry, and it's here, and it's fun to cover it from this sort of industrial, gritty Detroit perspective. You know, well, that's part of the fun.
And I said it before, you know, the Captivate guys, they're the Tim Berners-Lee.
Clicktivate. They may be Captivate.
It is Captivating.
It is Captivating to me. The Clicktivate guys are the Tim Berners-Lee of video now, right? Yeah. Because they're coming up with this great technology that a lot of people are going to use all over the world.
And, yeah. and we love the whole, you know, Detroit, there's nothing going on there in the tech scene because, you know, all around the country, wherever we go, we always hear that. And they're like, well, you guys are in Detroit. So it's great to kind of take
that. Cars, what else you got?
A little
you
bit.
Know?
Yeah.
Oh, and because of the auto industry, we are, Gary, you said it so often, we have been on the cutting edge of technology for decades, and it's just showing up now in this new kind of world where we've got these young folks like yourselves who are making it happen.
Yep.
I'm getting the sign from Jessica that unfortunately we can't play anymore today. We're done.
Dear.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, Matt, good show. I want to thank our guests again. I'm getting my glasses on here. You know, I'm getting blind. We have Ben Hedeleff, a director of business development from Clicktivate. We have Chris Roebuck. I always remember that because of Sears. He's the CEO. We had Amanda Luana, and of course we have Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and my partner Matt Roush. And we want to thank you, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to remind our listeners they can find us on SoundCloud a day or two after the program is live here, and there will now be episodes 1, 2, and 3 available on SoundCloud under the umbrella of PodcastDetroit.com. And I want to thank them. I want to thank Jess Rangel, our terrific broadcast engineer, for the opportunity to do this show.
Yeah, let's give a little hand there for her. Okay, give her a raise, Dave and Bob. All right, there you go. This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Roush.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode.